Jif took a hike up Mount Rubidoux. Who's ever been up that? First of all, that ain't even no hike, for reals. It's like, I was out of breath, huh, Ange? I was like, okay, right? So we get to the top of the hill, and I take the coolest picture in the world. So I want to, like, Instagram it right away. Unfortunately, I was doing it while I was walking down the mountain, and I put shift happens, but I forgot the F. And, well, shift happens, you know what I'm saying? Okay, so I got like a whole bunch of texts like, oh my God, you're cussing, and like, I repent, you know? So it's all good. But yeah, so my name's Beth, and honestly, I'm really excited about tonight. Tonight, the message is called Own It, talking about owning your moments. And let me tell you, I really feel like this is a word that God has been placed on my heart about a month ago. And so I've just been dwelling in it and taking it in. But I really want to ask you guys tonight to just really lean in. Like, how many of you guys are ever watching a good movie? If you've ever been in a room with my family, you understand that they're just loud. Like, unless you're screaming at the top of your lungs, you cannot be heard. And so in a movie, if I'm really trying to pay attention and I want to hear, like we were watching Capture the other night, what's up? That's a good show. If you haven't watched it yet, you need to tune in. And so I just began to lean in because I wanted to hear it. I wanted to hear what was going on. So tonight, I want to ask you just to lean in with me because this is a word that God wants to speak to tonight. Don't zone out. Don't go into another place. In fact, it's talking about zoning out. Have you ever zoned out so much? Maybe at the beginning of someone's story, you're in a conversation, you zone out, and when you first start the conversation, they were just beginning the story, and you were gone, and now you're back, and they're like, so what do you think? You're like, God, only God knows. Only God, you know, you zoned out. And actually, when I first got my license, me and Angelina, my best friend in the whole world, I thought, let's be real. Actually, I turned out to be the evil one. Here we are, we're driving down Ukipe, and I just got my license, and you know when you first get your license, you can't drive with someone for like 6 months? Well, I was more scared of my mom than like the cops. And so here we are, we're driving down Ukipe. I don't know who built Ukipe. I mean, someone must have been tripping because those are you kidding me? Those roads are like, how's a drunk person supposed to drive down those streets? I mean, I wasn't drunk, but I'm just saying, let's think about these people too, you know? So here we are, we're driving down and she is just blasting the Little Mermaid. I will never forget that. At the top of her lungs, she's just singing. I mean, tears were coming. I thought the Holy Spirit was moving. It was incredible. And so we're driving and I see this cop and it drives by me and I zoned out for some reason and I began to imagine that the cop pulls me over and calls my mom and I began this whole story in my head and I'm zoned out. And by the time I zone back in, we are driving through a white fence because the road had curved and I began to scream and I feel so bad. I began to push her out of my car because I was scared my mom would find out that she was in the car when I crashed. And I'm so sorry. She said she didn't know. She wasn't supposed to be in there. And I regret that until this day. I guess I'm not the most loyal friend. But here's the thing is that I zoned out. When I zoned back in, it was too late. And I feel like so many times in our life, do we zone out at a certain time? And the funny thing is that life keeps going. Just because you zone out doesn't mean everything else stops, but by the time you zone back in, by the time you wake back up, you're saying, why am I still the same as I was last year? Why are things still the same in our relationship with God, in our relationship with our friends, with our boyfriend, with our girlfriend, with our husbands, wives, or children? And we zone out and life keeps going, and when we zone back in, it's too late. See, I believe God has a word for us tonight about owning every moment. Go and turn to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, God spoke this word to me about a month and a half ago, this verse, and I just began to dive into it. It's talking about our moments. It's talking about our opportunities. You see, I'm not convinced that the day that we die, that the date of death is the one that's carved into on our tombstone. I believe so many of us die so much earlier than that because we begin to die when we have nothing else to live for. So many of us begin to zone out. We begin to close our eyes and we begin to sleepwalk through life. But let me tell you something. God has something greater for us. In Ephesians 5, it says, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. But be careful how you live. Do not live as those fools, but live as the wise and make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. You see, God is saying, awake, O sleeper. Rise from the dead. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. I believe that's a word for our generation. I believe that's a word for this ministry. I believe that's a word for your life personally. To wake up, to see the opportunities that are in front of you, and to seize them, to take part in them. You see, Kung Fu Panda made an incredible statement. He said, yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery, but today is a gift. That's why we call it the present. You see, yesterday is history. There's nothing you can do about it. Tomorrow is a mystery. You don't know what it's going to bring. But today is a gift. Today is your moment. Today is your opportunity. And it's your choice to engage in it and take part in it or to be sleepwalking. I believe that we are sleepwalking through some of the best moments of our life. We're sleepwalking through some of the most pivotal times of our young life. We're sleepwalking through some of those powerful relationships in our life. And God is saying, wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead. I have something greater for you today. This is your moment. This is who I created you to be. So number one, I believe God is calling us to own every moment. Number one, to own every moment. See, we need to stop sleepwalking. You see, fall's coming up, and it's a new season for a lot of us. For those of us who are in school, we're starting new schools, we're starting new semesters. For those of us, some of us are getting new jobs. Some of us are just, in fall, it feels like there's this momentum. It feels like there's this push. And I believe that God is saying tonight, this could be the best year of your life. Don't miss out. I want you to put everything you can into these next moments. But to be honest with you, I feel like many of us choose not to own our moments. Many of us choose to sleepwalk. Many of us choose to close our eyes to our situation because we're unhappy with our situation. Maybe we're not satisfied with where we're at. Maybe we're not satisfied with who we've become. Maybe your circumstance is unfortunate and you're saying, well, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what's been done to me. You don't know what cards have been dealt to me. Maybe some of you are saying, you know, I thought by now I would have this sin under control. I thought by this age our marriage would be better. We would be through this. I thought by now I would be married. Or man, God, at least a girlfriend or a boyfriend, dang, throw me a bone, you know. Some of you are saying that. Some of you are saying, you know, this job that I have, oh my, I'm just done with it. I'm just done with this job. I'm just done with trying to find a job. I'm just done with my situation. It's unfair. It's terrible. And some of us are so unhappy with where we're at that we're just sleepwalking through the season. And we're trying to close our eyes and we're trying to hope that we can just sleepwalk till it's over. We want to, you know, there's that dream job that you have and you just want to fast forward to it. There's that dream marriage you have. You just want to fast forward to it. There's that dream family or that dream relationship. And you just want to fast forward through it, but God is saying, don't miss out on the moments now. You know, the circumstances may not be the best for you. They may be painful, and you just want to close your eyes to it. But God is saying, even in the pain, I can do something great. Go and turn to Exodus 3 in chapter 4. Here's a man named Moses, and it's the same thing with him. You see, here he was a Hebrew boy living in an Egyptian household, and he came to a realization, a revelation of who he was, that he was part of the Hebrew people who were slaves to the Egyptians. And so his life began to slowly unravel. Soon he became frustrated, and all of a sudden he goes out one night and he ends up murdering an Egyptian. And then there again, his life is just coming down. And so you know what he does? He begins to run and hide. He flees. He runs and he hides in the back of a desert called Midian. And there he's hiding from God, and there he's trying to sleepwalk, and he's trying to close his eyes and disengage from his situation because it was too painful. He felt like he had messed up too much. He felt like he couldn't do anything about it. It wasn't where he wanted to be. You see, God had called him to be in the promised land. God had called him to take the Hebrew people, rescue them, and take them to the promised land. But he wasn't in the promised land. He was in the back of a desert, a shepherd sleepwalking through a season. And here God comes to him, and he takes some of his sheep, and he takes them to a mount called Mount Sinai, and there an angel of the Lord appears to him in the form of a bush. And it's so big and it's so crazy. He begins to run towards it. And in Exodus chapter 3, verse 4, we pick it up. It says, I need to turn there. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 4, it says, when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush and said, Moses, he said, here I am. He said, do not come any closer. The Lord warned him. Take off your sandals, for where you are standing is holy ground. You see, Moses, he was supposed to be in the promised land with the Hebrew people. And here God is telling him, wait a second, Moses. I know you're trying to disengage from your moment. I know you're trying to hide in the back of a desert because you don't like your circumstance, because you don't like where you're at. But Moses, I have something to tell you. Where you're standing is holy ground. You see, there's no place that's devoid of the presence of God. Not any place where you feel like you've gone too far. Not any place where you feel like you've missed it. Not any place of so much frustration. You feel like God isn't listening. There's no place, not even the back of the desert, that is devoid of the presence of God to speak to you. And you see, he says, Moses, where you are standing is holy ground. The promised land wasn't the holy ground. It was right where he is. And let me tell you, in your place of frustration, God wants to say something. Where you are standing is holy ground. This is your holy moment. This is your holy opportunity. This is where you're at, and you can't change it. Your circumstance is where you are, and God is saying, I still want to do something for you. I know it might be hard. I know it might be uncomfortable. I know it might not be the promised land where you want to be, but I still want to move through you. See, we gotta engage in the moments that we do have. There's a poem written by Emily Kingsley, and I want to read it to you. She's the mother of a child with special needs, and she wrote this, and it's really powerful. It says, I'm often asked to describe the experience of raising a child with disability, to try to help people that have not shared the unique experience to understand it, to imagine it. How would it feel? Well, it's like this. When you're going to have a baby, it's like planning a fabulous vacation trip to Italy. You buy a bunch of guidebooks and you make your wonderful plans. The Colosseum, the Michelangelo David, the gondolas in Venice. You may learn some handy phrases in Italian, and it's all very exciting. After months of anticipation, the day finally arrives. You pack your bags and off you go. Several hours later, the plane lands. The stewardess comes and says, welcome to Holland. Holland, you say. What do you mean, Holland? I signed up for Italy. I'm supposed to be in Italy. All my life, I've dreamed of going to Italy. But there's been a change in the flight plan, and there you must stay. Holland is where they've landed. The important thing is that they haven't taken you to a horrible, disgusting, filthy place full of pestilence, famine, and disease. It's just a different place. So you must go and buy new guidebooks. You must learn a whole new language. You will meet a whole new group of people that you never would have met. It's just a different place. It's slower paced than Italy. It's less flashy than Italy. But after you've been there for a while and you catch your breath, you look around. And you begin to notice that Holland has windmills. And Holland has tulips. And Holland even has Rembrandts. But everyone you know is busy coming and going from Italy. And they're all bragging about what a wonderful time they've had there. And you may say, yes, that's where I was supposed to go. That's what I had planned. But if you spend the rest of your life mourning the fact that you didn't get to Italy, you may never be free to enjoy the very special, the very lovely things about Holland. You see, so many times we plan for Italy. So many times we say, well, by this age, or in this circumstance, or in my situation, I'm planning for Italy. But let me tell you something. Sometimes you land in Holland, and sometimes you have to spend some time in Holland. And if you spend the rest of your life, if you spend that whole season in Holland wishing how you were in Italy, you're going to miss out on Holland. You're going to miss out on this season. You can't spend this whole season saying, I wish I could do this. I wish I could be that. Oh, I wish that things were different. I wish things were better. But God is saying if you would just engage in the moment, you would see that I'm doing something. You would see that I'm still moving. You would see that even in the darkness, even in the pain, I still want to work through you. I still want to speak to you. So we have to engage in every moment. You know, circumstances are rulers of the weak, but they are weapons in the hands of the wise. You see, circumstances to the weak, they tell the weak how they're going to feel that day. Circumstances tell the weak how much joy they're going to have that day. Circumstances tell the weak if they're going to be sick or healed. But can I tell you something? In the hands of the wise, circumstances have nothing on them. They begin to tell them how they're going to feel. So we have to remember that. We have to own every moment. Number two, I believe that God wants to wake us up to spiritual adventure. You see, he wants to take us on an adventure. He wants to wake us up spiritually to something new, to something different. I believe that most Christians, I believe that they suffer from spiritual boredom. You know, a Danish philosopher once said that the root of all evil is boredom. Now, I don't think that's true, but it's definitely food for thought. And we suffer from this spiritual boredom because we come to church and we do our thing and then we leave and we learn so much and we begin to do nothing with it. Or maybe we begin to live for, you know, just simply doing not wrong things. Or we come to church and we just don't feel God anymore. We begin to get bored. We begin to say, God, where's that presence I once felt? God, where's that presence that made me get my hand up and run to the altar? God, where is that? Go and turn to Matthew chapter 9. Actually, I think it's Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. You see, a young man who was no stranger to the church. He was no stranger to the commandments. He comes to Jesus and he asks a fascinating question. Matthew chapter 19, he says, Teacher, what good deed must I do to inherit eternal life? And at the bottom, verse 17, he says, If you want to receive eternal life, you must keep the commandments. Now, let me tell you, I can only imagine the intenseness in this boy's voice and his next question, because like I said, he's no stranger to church. He knows the commandments. And when Jesus says, well, to enter eternal life, you must do the commandments, I can understand his frustration when he says, well, teacher, which one? And Jesus replies, you must not commit murder, you must not commit adultery, you must not steal, you must not testify, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, I've obeyed all these commandments. The young man replied, watch this, what else must I do? And the King James Version says, what else do I lack? You see, there was a deep-seated longing in this boy that there is something more than just not doing wrong things. There is something more. He said, there must be more to this Christian life. There must be more than just coming into this church. And there has to be something more. What else do I lack, Jesus? You see, we make a long list of do's and don'ts. And we make a long list of how good we are and this and that. We think that's going to fulfill us. But God is saying, I want to take you on a spiritual adventure. This boy in this story, he began to keep the commandments. And he thought that would set him free because that's all he was doing. You see, I believe in keeping the commandments, but that's not all you can do. That's not all that you do. There's so much more than that. And so these commandments began to make a religious cage for him. He was caged, and God is saying, I want to set you free of that cage. And so many times we do that to ourselves in the church. We do that to ourselves in our lifestyle with God. We make it about this or that. We make it about being good. We make it about, you know, just different things, coming to church on time and making sure that you're in church. But then you go out and you do nothing. But then you go out and you don't even talk to God for the next week. See, it becomes a religious cage for us. I believe God wants to set us free of that cage. I don't think Jesus died on the cross to make us safe. I think Jesus died on the cross to make us dangerous. You see, the Spirit of God is untamed. The Spirit of God is uncaged. It cannot be tamed. And when you invite that Spirit into your life, it will take you places you never thought it would, down paths you never knew existed. I'll tell you what, it's going to send you places you never thought. You're going to begin to talk to people you never knew. Who knows what can happen when the Spirit of God is leading you? But so many times we confuse everything. We say, God, you follow us. Spirit, you follow me today. But instead, God is saying, I want to take you on a spiritual adventure. Number three, what does that look like for us? What does a spiritual adventure look like for us? Number three, God wants to use you in this moment. God wants to use you in this moment. You see, we confuse portfolios with God. I was thinking about this when I was praying one day, and I like to laugh, but dang, this time I just laughed at myself. I was like, this is ridiculous. I was praying to God, and I was praying about something, and I was like, you know how y'all get. Don't pretend right now. Don't even lie to me. I was like, Jesus, God, I just pray you've sent a saint down that path and that they would invite them in, bring them in from the highways, the byways, the ups, the down, the east, the west, everything, Jesus. And I just began to get down. And then I just felt like God was laughing at me. He's like, girl, you best look at your phone. So I looked at my phone. He said, do you have her number? I said, yes. He said, are you going to call her? I said, oh, no, I ain't getting that drama. She is drama. I cannot handle that right now, you know. And I feel like so many times we ask God to do what he has called us to do. We say, oh, God, I know that family. God, I know that family has no money. God, I know they can't afford Christmas presents. Oh, Lord, would you open up the heavens and let your spirit rain down in their pockets? You know, and God is saying, you are well and able to provide for them. Why don't you buy them some groceries this week? Why don't you buy them some Christmas presents this week? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? You know, God brings these moments. God brings these opportunities in our path, and we just pass them up. Your coworker may say, you know, I'm just going through this. Oh, my mom is sick. She has cancer. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I feel like we might get a divorce. I feel like cheating on my husband. I feel like I'm going through this. I feel like I'm going through that. Maybe your friend comes to you at school and struggling with homosexuality, struggling with this, struggling with that. And we say, oh, I'm so sorry going through that. And sometimes I feel like God is up in heaven like, are you kidding me? I opened that door for you. I believe God is in the business of strategically putting us together at the right place at the wrong time. But so many times, the right place looks like the wrong place and the right time looks like the wrong time. And God is saying, I put this together for you. Own this moment. Seize the opportunity. What does a spiritual adventure look like for us? It means going out and being the church. Going out and being who God has called us to be. Awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead. About a month ago, I was in Peru, and we were there, and we flew to an island called Iquitos, and little did I know this. I mean, I don't know what we'd done if I would know before, but in Iquitos, it was the most dangerous part of Peru, and we went to the most dangerous street in Peru. I was like, we narrowed it down, didn't we? We just had to go there. Dang, you just took me right there. Right to them. So we get there, and it's so dangerous that we actually couldn't even go there. The only reason we could go there is because the murderers and the prostitutes and the drug dealers who used to run the streets got saved by the mission organization we went with, and they would come out to the streets with us, and they would protect us, and they would minister with us. And so we go to this place called Bethlehem, and to get to Bethlehem, there's these long stairs. And on that trip, that particular trip, I brought a camera. It was the first few days, and so everyone's calling me the camera girl, and I was the camera girl. I was taking pictures. I was doing video. I was doing my thing, you know? And so because there's so many robberies, they've gotten robbed so much, I had three bodyguards. I thought I was legit. I was like, where's my sunglasses at? You know, I thought I was it for reals. I was saying. So then I had these three bodyguards. We're walking down these stairs, and as we're going down, people begin to stop us. They don't go down there. You don't want to go down there. They're going to rob you. They're going to stab you. Don't do it. We're like, no, we got to. We got to. Keep going. Don't go down there. Don't. I mean, these were long stairs. I was like, I ain't got time for everybody stopping us every 2 minutes. We going down there. You know, so finally we get down there, and I'm walking with my interpreter, and we're walking down these streets, and there's trash as high as my head, and everyone's naked. No, not everybody, but too many people, naked, running around, and we saw drug dealers out there, we saw prostitutes out there, and my interpreter, he stops me, he says, you see that wooden shack right there? I was like, that busting, disgusting one? Yeah, I see that. He says, you know what they're doing behind that door? I said, I do not want to know, but I have a feeling you're going to tell me. He said, you know, They're getting high, they're smoking, they're drinking, having sex with prostitutes. He said, that's where I used to live. Right there, that's where I used to live. And we keep walking, and we walk up to this, it's just the middle of the street, it's just dirt. My other interpreter says, see that dirt right there? I said, what? He said, I killed a man in cold blood there. He said, I just killed him. He said, but God saved me. He set me free. And so we keep walking, and we finally get to this mud. It's just mud. And there's a pile of trash. He says, you see that mud there? So that's where Jessica, we found Jessica, 7 months pregnant, on drugs, still prostituting. I look over, and there's Jessica preaching right next to us, preaching the word of God because God saved her. And so here's this dirt. And I begin to look over to the side, and there's this hammock, and there's this woman in it, and she's pregnant. So I'm filming, and I'm shooting, and I'm slowly but surely making my way over to her. I just wanted to chat. So I get down, and I get on my knees, and I just begin to talk to her. And I find out who she is. I found out, you know, what she's doing, and she lives there. She lives in that trash. She lives in the mud. So we began to talk, and immediately God spoke to me. He said, she wants to be set free from drugs. She wants to stop prostituting. She wants to get off the streets, and I want you to pray for her. And immediately something in me was like, no. What? What? I don't know what happened, but God, I said, no, God, I'm the camera girl. That's my label. People are calling me the camera. That's me. Have you not heard, God? Everyone's calling me the camera girl. I can't pray. I can't lay hands. I haven't prayed for anyone in like 2 days. I didn't even read my Bible. I'm going to repent. I didn't even read my Bible, God. I'm sorry. Don't punish me for this. I did not read my Bible today. All these people around me, they've been praying for people all day. God, choose them. And so I don't know if you guys know me, but I'm a very dramatic person sometimes. Like if I'm ever like stressed out, it's pretty intense sometimes. And so, I mean, sometimes I'll be like, oh my God. And people are like, why? I'm like, I don't know. There's one cookie left in the cookie jar. I just don't know who to give it to. You know, it's like the simplest things. I just freak out. And so I begin to, I'm down on my knees and I get up and I look and it's so loud because the ministry's happening. And I see Corey and I say, Corey, you got to come and pray for her. But he couldn't hear me. And I look over and see Ashley. I'm like, Ashley, you got to come and pray for her. Someone needs to pray for her. And I look at my interpreter and he's like, what is happening? He's like, you've never prayed before? He's like thinking I'm not even saved. I just didn't feel qualified because I hadn't done it. These hands hadn't prayed since I got there. It wasn't supposed to be me. I felt like I wasn't anointed. I felt like it wasn't my moment. And all of a sudden, it was like God said, wake up. This is your opportunity. I felt like God was saying, when will the opportunity be big enough? When will the opportunity be more obvious enough? I've set her before you. It's not about you anymore, Beth. It's about her. She needs to get off these streets. I love what Pastor Joey said just 3 weeks ago. He said, just tell them about me. We began to think about Jesus. Just tell them about Jesus. So I knelt down. I began to pray for her. I put my hands on her stomach and I began to pray like I've never prayed before. And immediately that baby began to kick. That baby began to get crazy. She had looked up and she began to shout, my baby, she's awake, he's awake. Later, she confessed that she was doing drugs. She wanted to quit. Later, she confessed that she was prostituting. She wanted to quit. Let me tell you something. She was 9 months pregnant. We got her hooked up with that mission organization. She's off the streets. Praise God. But let me tell you, the same thing that God spoke to me that day, he's saying to this generation, he's saying to you and me, he's saying, when will the opportunity be big enough for you? When will the moment be more perfect for you? God is saying, when will the worship be good enough for you? When will the message be good enough for you? When will it be more obvious when your coworker comes in upset and you may not like them, you may not get along with them, but that opportunity is there. And we let it slip through our fingers and God is saying they need to know. Just pray. It's not about you. It's not about your faith. It's not about your hands. The healing comes from Jesus. If you just lay on hands, God can do it. God is saying, when will the worship be good enough for you? Stop thinking about how maybe the songs weren't right. Stop thinking about how maybe the band messed up. When will it be good enough for you to just engage, to just worship him? You know, so many times I wonder if Jesus says to himself, why aren't I good enough? Why aren't I good enough that they just worship me? I wonder if Jesus ever thinks, why aren't I good enough that they just tell another person about me? I gave my life for them. You see, Jesus, I wonder if he ever thinks, I gave my whole life for them. I died on a cross so they could tell someone else about Jesus. I strategically put you and this person on the right path at the right time. But it doesn't look good enough to us. It's not obvious enough. See, God wants to use us in this moment. This is holy ground. This is our holy moment. We are a generation that's going to be different. We cannot repeat what the last generation has done. We cannot be who the last generation has been. A generation of absent fathers, a generation of unengaged mothers, a generation of Christians who are too insecure, too scared, too selfish to tell anyone else about Jesus. That's not us. That's not me. That's not you. We are going to own our moments. We are going to wake up. We are going to be the Christian that God has called us to be the church that God has called us to be. You're saying, I don't know. If I can, I'm telling you, can. You can do it. We need to wake up. We need to own every moment. I just want everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes. I want you to have a moment with God. You know, some of you are in this place and you may be saying to yourself, you don't know my situation. You don't know what I'm going through. It's so hard. It's so rough. You may be saying to yourself, you're in that place where your circumstance, where your situation is frustrating, where your situation is unbearable. And you're saying, I've been asleep. That's me. I've been trying to sleepwalk through this. I've just been trying to get to the end of it. But it's not working. And God wants to, well, I want to pray for you. God wants to move for you. God wants to speak to you tonight. So if that's you, if you're in a circumstance, if you're in a situation that's hard, I just want you to get your hand up. Just get your hand up. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise God, thank you. Now, if you're in this situation, now I'm speaking to those of you now who may be saying to yourself, I've just been asleep. I've just been bored. I'm suffering from spiritual boredom. I feel like I can't feel God. I feel like I don't do anything for God. I feel like I come in this church and I leave and I'm the same. And I'm sick and tired of it. I want to feel God. I want to be used by God. If you're in this place, I want you to get your hand up because I want to pray for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, others of you, if you're in this place and you're just saying, I want to make this the best year. I want to wake up. I want to be full of God. I don't want to be the same. I want to look back in 1 year and say, oh my gosh, God, you've done so much for me. God, you've changed me. God, you've set me free. God, you used me. If you want to make this the best year, I want you to get your hand up. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That's the whole room. Praise God. If everyone could just stand up for me. Just go ahead and stand up. I'm going to ask you guys who rose your hands, which is really the whole room. If you guys rose your hands, I want you to come up to the altar because tonight is a night that we're going to worship. Tonight is a night we're going to pray. And if you rose your hand, make your way up to this altar. Make your way up. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead. Thank you. Thank you. So Heavenly Father, I just pray right now, Lord God, these humble hearts, Lord, these passionate hearts, God, who want more of you, Jesus, who don't want to be the same, Father. Awake us, God. Awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead. Thank you, Father. Awaken us spiritually, Father. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Anoint them, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Let's begin to worship. Let's begin to lift up the name of Jesus. Worship, but I believe God has a word for you in this season. I believe God has a word for us here tonight. See, Jesus, he's speaking. He makes an interesting statement in Matthew 9:17. He says, you do not take new wine and put it into old wineskin. You see, the old wineskin is brittle. It cannot handle expansion. It cannot handle movement. It cannot handle difference. He says, you do not take new wineskin and put it in old wine. You do not take old wine and put it into old wineskin, because when you do that, the new wine then expands and the old wineskin bursts. But what you do is you take new wine, you put it into a new wineskin, and both are preserved. Let me tell you something. God wants to do something different in your year, this life, and this year. God wants to do something different spiritually. God wants to do something in your relationships. God wants to do something new this year. But let me tell you something. It can't be done in your old mindsets. It cannot be done in your old brittle laziness. It cannot be done in your old brittle insecurities. It cannot be done in the old ways we used to do things. God wants to do something new this year, and you got to make a change. God is saying you need a new wineskin. I want you to take that to heart. I want you to remember that this is a word for you. When you want to go back to that old mindset, you want to go back to the old way of doing things, you want to give up, you want to be lazy, you want to not tell someone about Jesus, remember that God is saying, I'm doing something new. So Heavenly Father, we thank you. We lift you up because you are holy. We lift you up because you are worthy. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. We worship you, Jesus. You know, God is speaking to some of you, and God is saying, you need to get right with me right now. God is speaking to some of your hearts, and God is saying, you need to give me your heart. You need to give me everything that you are. God wants you to be saved. God wants you to enter into heaven with him. But most of all, God wants you to enter into a life of salvation here on earth. You see, your good works aren't good enough to get you to heaven. Your good works aren't good enough to get you into a relationship with God. You see, you hoping and praying and maybe I'll get into heaven. Maybe I'll get into a relationship with God. Good wishful thinking isn't good enough. God is saying, you got to give me your heart. You got to give me everything that you are. You see, if you're seeing us right now and you're saying, I want more of Jesus. I want more of what you have. I don't have that yet. I haven't made him my Lord and my Savior. Maybe you've backslid and you once lived for God and now you're just doing your own thing. God is saying, come back to me. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to push you away. I'm not going to tell you how sinful you are, but I'm going to tell you how much I love you. God wants to wrap his arms around you tonight. So if you want to give your life to God, if you want to make him your Lord and your Savior, I just want you to get your hand up. Just get your hand up. Let me see. Thank you. Thank you. Get your hand up. Don't miss your moment. This is your moment. This is your holy moment. This is holy ground. Seize the opportunity. If you want to get right with God, let me just see your hands. Amen. We have a few. Thank you. Everyone go and bow your heads. We're just going to repeat this prayer. I want everyone to say it with me, especially those of you who rose your hands. Say, Heavenly Father, I make you my Lord, my Savior. God, I repent of anything I've done that is against your will. God, I love you. Take my heart. Take my life. Change me from the inside out. I don't want to be the same. I worship you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We're going to connect with you guys afterwards. If you rose your hand, come up and see me. Come up and see anyone on the worship team, our leaders here. And they're going to speak with you. They're going to get you a Bible if you need a Bible. But, you know, I believe that God moved tonight. I believe he spoke to you tonight as he does every single shift service. I don't want you to forget what you heard tonight. Because so many times God speaks, he does something monumental, and we forget, and we let it pass us by. God is saying, this is different. Tonight is different. Tonight is setting the course for the rest of the year, the rest of the season. We're not going to be the same people. This room is going to be filled with the lost, with the sick. This room is going to be filled with people who need to hear about Jesus. It's going to be done through you and me. I believe in you so much. I believe in each and every one of you so much. And maybe you haven't heard that in your whole life, but I believe in you and I love you. I believe God is doing good things. Our best days are right in front of us. Everyone say that with me. Our best days are right in front of us. Thank you, Jesus. I think we have time to end with a little something, something. A little something, something.